This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Welcome into the Local Angle right here on FanDuel TV. I'm John Jastrzemski, the host of New York, New York. And what a rough Sunday it was. Especially for the Sunday night AFC New York football team, the Jets, who went to Vegas in dire need of a win, trying to keep their season afloat, trying to drum up momentum. So somehow, some way, if you believe in miracles, if you believe in pipe dreams, if you wanted to get romantic over the idea that Aaron Rodgers could come back and save this season, it behooved the Jets to go and beat Aiden O'Connell and Antonio Pierce's Vegas Raider team. And the Jets, despite dominating the game in the first half, for the second straight week, for the second time in a week, can't find pay dirt, can't score a touchdown, and we're talking about yet another excruciating loss in a primetime environment. And there are a lot of factions and factors for why the Jets now have fallen to 4-5 on the year. A week ago was about the ineptitude full-fledged of the quarterback. And Robert Saleh said after the game, hey, it's a lazy narrative to just throw out, oh, you're losing because of Zach Wilson. Last week it wasn't. This week, it's a variety of a couple of different things. Let's be real. The penalties. Killers. Our buddy CJ Uzomah comes on the podcast, had a couple of backbreaking penalties for the New York Jets. Backbreaking. Including one off of the Aiden O'Connell interception, where it looks like Zach Wilson is about to run in for a touchdown. He steps out. It's first and goal on the 2 to 3 yard line. Penalty. Takes it back 10 yards. How about defensively at the end of the first half? Chance to go up 6 going into the locker room. Penalty. Roughing the passer. Extends a Vegas drive. Boom. 3 more points. So Vegas at 9-6, despite the fact that they weren't moving the ball, they weren't putting together sustained drives. A team that has purpose now and is reinvigorated by the fact that they have made a coaching change. I don't think there's any question about that. They were fired up going into the second half. And guess what? The Jets came out of the locker room and couldn't move the football. In addition to that, Vegas made some adjustments. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get Josh Jacobs involved in the game plan. He got to the second and third level a few times. And I know it's an unfair standard to look at a Jet defense and say, you got to pitch a shutout. But at that point in time, they had to hold the lead. They couldn't get stops on third and fourth down. They couldn't tackle Josh Jacobs. They give up the Michael Mayer touchdown in the corner of the end zone. That's losing football. We know the Jet defense is really good. We know they are being asked to do a lot more than they should. That's all true. That's all fair. But guess what? That's the reality of the situation for the Jets. Go and get a stop. They didn't do it. Now, the coup de grace for the Jets is that they go and get a turnover late. And you're saying, if not now, then when for Zach Wilson? He makes a couple of throws. They're driving. It seems like the Jets are in excellent position to go and get themselves a touchdown drive that's going to get them over 500, that's going to set themselves up really nicely for the stretch they have against the Bills and the Dolphins the next 2 weeks. And what happens? Zach Wilson does Zach Wilson things. The Raider defender reads him like a book, jumps the route. You could see it from a mile away, and it's an inexcusable interception to lose the game. Par for the course. So you got the full-fledged experience of why the Jets lost this game on Sunday night. Penalties, worn down defense, not getting a big stop when they need it, and a quarterback who is simply inept, failing to do the job. Now the Jets, despite the fact that statistically speaking, they got one of the best defenses in all of football, they are 4-5, and they have now put together back-to-back losses within the conference. So when you think about tiebreakers down the road, Vegas beat them. Do I think Vegas is going to be in the playoff picture when it's all said and done? Probably not, but that's a crippling loss. The Charger game, are they going to be a playoff team? I'm not necessarily sure, but that has the chance and the potential to go and be a crippling loss. And now, you split with Miami and Buffalo. That's if you play well. Jets haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks. So now all of a sudden you're expecting them to go and split these two games. Even if you do, you're 5-6 with games against Houston and Atlanta and Miami again and Cleveland at Cleveland, to the point where even if you want to fantasize about Aaron Rodgers riding out on his white horse, trying to save the New York Jets, if the Jets are in a position where, I don't know, they're 5-7 going into the final couple of weeks of December, you're bringing Aaron Rodgers back off a torn Achilles? Is that the most practical and prudent move if that's where you're at in the standings? Not the way I see it. The Jets need to split one of these two games against the Chargers and the Raiders. I wasn't even of the mindset that they got to go and win both games. You had to find a way to split these two. And now you got to wonder, for as well as the defense has been playing, and I'd give them a B-plus today. I would not give them an A because they could have gotten the Aiden O'Connell stop. They could have gotten the Meyer stop. They could have gotten the Jacobs stop. They didn't. But now you got to wonder, are you going to get that same effort from the Jet defense when they go to Buffalo next week? Or when they play Miami in a couple of weeks? Or when they play the outstanding C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans? Or do the guys on that defense kind of just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, we did what we could. We are just hamstrung by the situation that we're in. That's the challenge now for Robert Saleh and company. Finding a way to keep this team together, trying to keep this bad boy afloat as everything is trying to materialize and break through. That's the problem they're going to run into. And that's not a good one. So I thought bare minimum the Jets would split these two games. You want to have any prayer of being in the playoff mix, you got to split Miami and Buffalo. Because if you lose those two games and the Jets now 4-5, you fall to 4-7, there's nothing to discuss going into the month of December. And I don't think there's anything to discuss as far as Aaron Rodgers making his return in 2023, which still seems far-fetched and still seems outlandish to even think about. But if you want to fantasize, you need to win some games. Crippling, crippling loss for the Jets. Crippling. Now, for the other team in town, you got as non-competitive a game as probably you imagined going in. And look, the Giants lost by 40-something points to Dallas when they were at full strength earlier in the year. Now this is a Giant team that is 2-7, now 2-8, with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen against the Dallas Cowboys? I can't say I'm particularly surprised. Now, for some, they're going to look at the performance by the defense and they're going to wonder, has this team packed it in? has this team mailed it in? And my advice to anybody out there wondering if the answer to that question is no, maybe go take a look in the mirror, number one. Number two, the best thing the Giants can do, and I know this stinks from a fan's perspective. It's not enjoyable. You don't want to be here the week before, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, talking about playing out the string where you hope your team loses as many games as possible. But the reality for the Giants is they're kind of set up in tankathon with Tommy DeVito starting games at quarterback, with the lack of talent that is obvious on the offensive side of the ball. Giants set up to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. That sets you up really nicely to maybe go and get yourself that next generational quarterback. And there are going to be some suggesting that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be on the hot seat. I, for one, don't look at it that way. They've had a vile, rotten season. Everything has gone wrong for them. I don't think Daboll's done a great job with this team. I think he'd be the first to tell you that. I think if you look at some of the moves that Shane made this particular offseason or some draft picks, they don't look great, but they get a chance to rewrite all of that if the next couple of weeks go the way the next couple of weeks should go. They'd have the chance to say, okay, we were rotten in 2023. But guess what? That pot of gold is there for us at the end of the rainbow. That pot of gold being Caleb Williams or being May out of North Carolina, and the idea that you get your hands on one of those two quarterbacks and boom, you restart, you reboot the operation. That's what's there for them. And if you're a Giant fan thinking something other than that, you're lost on what the vision for the end of 2023 should be. Now, trust me, I'm not in love with this scenario from a standpoint of, hey, watching Giant games every single Sunday. They're not going to be fun to watch. You're going to look every bit the part of a team that's playing out the string. We've seen it way too often in New York sports over the last decade. But the worst thing you can do is screw up the tank. And we've seen teams do it. The New York Jets in 2020, and I know there were questions still about Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, he's coming off a down game against the San Francisco 49ers, and his numbers this year have not been great. I'll be the first to tell you that. Would a Jet fan love to have Trevor Lawrence swinging passes for his team right about now? I think that they would. And that was the difference between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, a meaningless win against the Los Angeles Rams at the end of the year. So, when you think that's not a thing, wrong. It can very much be a thing. So, just embrace the pain. Embrace the suck. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But if it gets you to where you need to be, and you got competition, the Patriots will be there. The Bears, with two chances, will be there with their own pick, even though they got three wins. But the Carolina pick, they have one win. You're a big Carolina Panther fan. Next couple weeks, you're a Giant fan. That Patriot game looming large in a few weeks. Not the way we thought it might be looming large at the beginning of the year, but looming large from a standpoint of just lose, baby. That's the mantra for the New York Giants the rest of the way. It was just win, baby. It's just lose, baby. So that's the state of affairs here in New York, New York. Not ideal. We'll come back and get it. Taste and a sense for what our listeners are feeling right about now. I'm sure they're particularly thrilled. Giants playing the tank role. The Jets can't find ways to close games in Vegas and season now on life support at 4-5. So we'll hear from some of our viewers and listeners right here on The Local Angle. We'll come right back. Coming up, it'll be off the pipe. The end of Mac Jones. It's got to be, but a great loss for the New England Patriots. Brian Barrett's got to go.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with Your Garage on cars.com.
Brian Barrett from Off the Pike, and joining us now, as he does each and every week, it is three-time Super Bowl champ James White. Well, James, let me start with this. You and I have had conversations multiple times this year about, hey, is this rock bottom for the Patriots? I guess it essentially took a trip to Germany for the Patriots to really, really hit rock bottom, because we thought it appeared they had already been there. Just an aggravating game all the way around, James, for this Patriots team. And you do sort of look at the rest of the season and you say, okay, you have a bye week coming up. And that's where we were talking about this earlier with Bailey Zappe most likely taking over for Mac Jones. But now it's almost as if the Patriots, and I know this is weird, like to say to a former NFL player that won three Super Bowls and most of your teams were competitive outside of like the one difficult year where you guys in 2020, like outside of that, you're basically in the playoffs most of your career except that season, right? But it almost feels like from an organizational perspective, and they may not have to try, because remember, Zappe was so bad in the preseason and in training camp. And he, if he actually had a decent training camp or a decent preseason, he would have already been the quarterback, right? Because Mac has not played well for the majority of the season. But getting back to my big point here, it's almost better for this team to lose games, because as we said, it doesn't feel like Mac Jones is the next great Patriots quarterback. So that means, from my perspective, you got to start that cycle over of the rookie quarterback contract, if you will. And right now, the Patriots entered the day, and we'll see, we're recording early, which I guess is the good thing about today, is we're recording after a 9:30 a.m. football game. That's the good thing. We can watch good football the rest of the day, James. We don't have to go through the Patriots and like not watch the 4 o'clock window. We get to go watch great football all day long. But my point with that is they entered the day with the fourth pick. Arizona, like, who knows? Maybe they win a couple of games with Kyler Murray. Really easily could see this team getting into the top three. And at that point, you're going to have to take a quarterback if you're the Patriots. How could you not? Especially considering Caleb Williams, Drake May, Shedeur Sanders. And I know, like, this whole thing about him not coming out. I think he's going to come out, especially if you're a top 10 pick. Although he is making a ton of money at the collegiate level. I said the other day on here, James, where I could see the connection because Brady's friends with Deion. Brady worked out Shedeur Sanders. I could see that connection. But it does really feel like Giants, that's a winnable game. We'll see where the Chargers are at like later on in the season. But I would be shocked if they get outside of the top five, which means I think the most likely scenario for the Patriots in 2024 is to have a rookie quarterback again.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going to be evaluated. I think they have to evaluate Zappe. I mean, he did a decent job last year, struggled during the preseason. You know, let him start the next couple games, see what you get from him. If he doesn't perform well, you know, Will Greer, Malik Cunningham, see what you have on the table, because obviously everybody's going to assume they're going to draft, you know, quarterback in the first round to replace Mac, or, you know, have Mac be the backup or whatever they decide to do with Mac. The quarterback position, if you don't have a guy, you know, who's, you know, helping you out to help you win football games, it's tough to win a bunch of football games in this league. And the schedule definitely doesn't get easier going forward. The Giants is a winnable game. The Steelers is probably a winnable game because they don't score many points on offense as well. Other than that, there's some tough matchups to finish off the season. But you're going to see a lot of younger guys start to play, in my opinion. I think this is where you put those young guys who haven't got a bunch of snaps so far this season, put them in some situations where, you know, they probably wouldn't have played if this team was, you know, fighting to be in a playoff spot. So you can really evaluate them on in-game situations. You know, you get Booty out there a little bit more. You get, you know, Mapu out there a little bit more just to see how they react in game-like situations. Like I said, nobody's roster spot is guaranteed, no matter what your contract is and all that. When you lose everything, you're losing like the way they are right now. Everything's on the table, and they're just, you know, from ownership coaches, they're just trying to find, you know, who they think can help them win football games next season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the fact that Booty got out there today. He did get hit hard on one of those plays, but it's nice to see him out there. DeMario Douglas is getting his opportunities. That's really what the rest of the season is about. See, like, who is part of the future with this Patriots organization. So I'm all for that. The bigger picture question I'd have, too, just as it pertains to Bill, because now for, like, the first time ever, there's been legit questions. Is Bill going to be back? Is Bill on the hot seat? But as somebody that played for Bill when you guys were playing at the highest level and you guys were playing in the biggest games, like it was the Patriots Invitational, the AFC Championship, basically for a decade. I mean, you guys were in there every single year. You could just, until 2019, basically that whole decade, you guys were in the AFC Championship game. So I do wonder if Bill would want to come back. Like, let's say the hypothetical is Robert wants to come back. Now, we don't know if that's the case or not, but let's go with that first. So if the Patriots want to have Bill back, they have a top five pick in the draft. Do you think Bill would want to do this because he's been going through, it seems like, a rebuild for the past 2 years? Or do you think that, like, there was a report from Diana Rossini from The Athletic that her bet would be let me get this right so I don't, like, misquote her. She said, in talking to those who have spent time around the Patriots organization and understand the dynamics between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, I don't expect anything to be determined with so much remaining in the season. I don't think they'd fire him during the season either. But she says, but if people I talked to had to bet on it, their money is on a mutual parting of the ways at the end of the season. So the way that I read that, I just don't think that Bill is going to go out this way, where it's back-to-back losing seasons. It's, what, 3 out of 4 seasons without Tom where he had a losing season. But maybe he doesn't want to do it here anymore. Maybe he wants to go somewhere else, one of these other jobs that opens up. So do you think that Bill would want to come back based on sort of the state of the organization right now?
I think Bill will want to come back. It's hard going to a completely, you know, new organization, dealing with a bunch of a new coaching staff, new ownership. Things aren't going to be ran the exact same way. He has so much established already in this Patriots organization, some players who have been playing there for a long time that can help, you know, try and, you know, still instill the culture that's been set in place for, you know, 20 plus years. If you go somewhere else, you don't know how, you know, players are going to react to, you know, his coaching style or what he's trying to get accomplished. Like, at the same time, I said, we're not in those conversations. That's a, you know, a different pay grade to have in those conversations between, you know, Bill and Robert Kraft. I'm sure they're going to have they've already had conversations, I'm sure, about what they want to see from this team going forward as far as the quarterback and the team as a whole. I can see Bill being back on the team, you know, coaching the team next season and them drafting a quarterback. I mean, who knows what he'll decide to do. We haven't seen him in this position in such a long time, and Bill's typically a guy who likes to, you know, add more picks, so they can have the number 5 pick. He can create 3 more picks out of that and trade back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure people probably pissed off at that, but you never know what he'll decide to do. I just see him as the football coach next season, but like I said, they continue to lose. You can see the frustration on Robert Kraft's face during the game more than you've ever seen before because – I said, they're not used to losing. He wants to win no matter the situation. Bill wants to win no matter the situation. You can see his frustration, too, you know, on that fake spike. It's like, what are we doing? It's just tough. Like I said, it's when you lose.
What was that?
The whole, like, process on the offense was just they're moving the ball really slow. It just seems like no sense of urgency whatsoever when they're in these two-minute situations. Like, they get the first down. Like, even if – you know, was that Zeke who carried the ball? Even if he didn't, or Ramondre, even if he didn't get the first down, you guys should be hurrying to the ball, trying to, you know, get a playoff. Yeah. They're just, you know, kind of taking their time. Bailey just like doing whatever his signal is for the fake spike. Just like no sense of urgency there. And then, you know, gets on the ball and just fires it, you know, in the middle of the field into a team meeting where he could have just threw it to Gesicki on the sideline, get like 5 or 10 yards, just throw it away. But like I said, it's a tough position for him. You know, get thrown into the game.
Right.
You know, final possession, no timeouts. I mean, your mind's probably all over the place. It's a hard position to be in as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, Zappy said after the game that he was asked about that play, and he said, I can't say what I want to say. I'm sure that's not going to go over well.
Zapp has been saying some slick stuff over these last 2 years. He's like, he wants to really get something off his chest. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure eventually – it'll come out at some point. But yeah, he's holding back.
I know. I kind of like it, man. Like, usually you don't hear that from Patriots players. Yeah. He's kind of like throwing – he's like he caught himself. He's like, I don't want to say what I should say or I want to say, but I can't say it right now. He's like, all right, well, I guess we'll find about that down the road. He did say after the game, though, when he was asked, do you think you can be the starter? He said 100%.
I mean, you got to say that. Yeah.
Imagine if he was like, yeah, I think I'm like, you know, 50-50. I think I could do it. Yeah, but
That would be good.
I mean, look, maybe he gets back on track after. I mean, he was decent. Like, the game plans were easy last year when he played, right? But, I mean, this year, obviously, when he's played in limited action, he hasn't really shown much. So I guess we'll see what he can do down the stretch of the season. The other thing is this, just in terms of the reason I don't think it makes sense if Kraft wanted to move on from Bill, I just don't think that puts Gerard Mayo, if he is the next head coach of the Patriots, I just don't think that puts him in a good position, right? Because he wants to install his own program that is, and look, obviously when Gerard Mayo's a head coach, he's going to take a lot of what Bill Belichick did. Obviously he learned under him and he coached on his staff for multiple years. But I think you would want to have a fresh start to the season, right? Not come in the middle of the year and coach this team that right now is 2-7. Like, if Gerard Mayo is the next Patriots coach, and obviously they can't say anything, they can't reveal anything, but if they already plan, like, this is the succession plan after Gerard Mayo was up for coaching jobs and then just stopped interviewing, I don't think this is how you want to take over the team in sort of like the interim role. I think you want to, because you want to come in like with your message to the team, what this team's going to be like. And you really can't do that if you start the season 2-7 and you take over, right?
Yeah, I don't think they would fire Bill during the season. If anything, they said they'll let him finish the season now. They'll have a conversation. Probably won't even be necessarily a firing. It'd be, like you said, it'd be like a mutual agreement. And even if it is, you know, Mayo, I've seen people talking about, you know, trading for Mike Vrabel, all types of stuff. There's a lot of rumors out there, which, I mean, that's not an awful decision if they try and do something like that. Vrabel's a heck of a coach. I think Mayo will be a heck of a coach whenever he does get his opportunity. I think if Mayo steps in, he's a personal dude. He's a fired up dude. He knows ball. And so he knows how to, you know, interact with this younger generation. There's some different cats being in the locker room now. It's a different day and age. But like I said, he knows how to adapt to that. And I said, at the same time, I still can't see it. I mean, I guess I'm probably lost in the smoke here. Just hard to see, you know, Bill Belichick not being the head coach for the New England Patriots and him not, you know, retiring, you know, on his own terms. But like at the same time, when you're losing football games, everything is thrown on the table. And as an owner, you want to see your team win, and you're going to do whatever you think is, or whatever you feel is best to help this team move forward.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from our buddy Jason Goff. We'll go in Chicago. They win on Thursday night, but they still set up to go and get that quarterback. A lot of tankathon talk here on the Local Angle. Get ready for it. The Full Go with Jay Goff is up next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the Local Angle, the Chicago side of things. What's up to all our FanDuel TV people out there? This is the Full Go. I am Jason Goff, and we are brought to you by The Ring, and of course, Spotify is the gang. Wherever you get your podcasts, you know where you can find us every Sunday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday with an emergency pod thrown in there as well, right here. So we have a special guest here on our Full Go podcast, a friend of the program, and a guy that I like to think of as more than a work friend. You know, Stacey King here in the city of Chicago is considered a work friend to me because I still haven't gotten any of his magnificent hot sauce. But his broadcast partner and also a national play-by-play man extraordinaire for Fox Baseball. He gets in there on Fox Football. He's fresh off of the Saints Vikings game, which I took in. I was sitting there hanging out with my kid and saying, "Man, Jay, we got no Bears football to watch." And next thing you know, Adam Amin is on the television. He's like, "There's Adam." I'm like, "There is Adam." So Adam Amin joining us here for this Local Angle. And I'm going to tell you something, Adam. We don't get a lot of weekends like this, especially lately, where Chicago sports fans can get up after a weekend and say, "You know what? Everything didn't suck." Because from what I see over those last 5 or 6 days when it comes to Connor Bedard, and yeah, I know all the people out there, hockey, yes, hashtag Brothers for Hockey is back in Chicago. There is not just a new kid on the block, but a new star on the block. Number 98 has scored, what, 6 goals in his last 6 games, fastest to 9 goals in Blackhawks history, or recent history at least. And of course, there's only been like 4 players who have scored at the rate that he scored at. So you say to yourself, man, it's a good weekend if you're leading off with hockey. And on top of it, Adam, you had no Bears this weekend, right? No Bears. You had a Thursday night game. You get to peruse the rest of the league. You might say, how did the rest of the league factor into anything that's going to be talked about tonight? Well, shout out to Lovie Smith, the last time the Bears had a representative coach, because he, as the Houston Texans coach, right? You think to yourself, man, I remember the Texans had Lovie Smith. He won the last game of the season against everybody's wishes, messed around, and they drafted C.J. Stroud. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with Chicago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all you need to do is look for Ohio State quarterbacks and the endorsement and the encouragement that they're getting right now on Twitter, with no Justin Fields having to be, I guess, concerned about this last Thursday and the Thursday night situation that was Tyson Bagent's maybe last game as Justin gets back from the thumb injury. A lot of people on Twitter and social media maybe getting back on that. Okay, Justin Fields might be the right guy leading the charge going forward. And on top of it, AA, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and that other pick. Like, Bears fans are starting to get recentered, I guess. And then, of course, you got the Bulls winning against the Detroit Pistons. But that's not why you called. Adam, it's always good to talk to you, man. Always good to see you. This is one of those weekends, man, where we don't have a whole lot to be concerned about. But, of course, the week will bring us different fortunes, because I'm sure the White Sox will chime in at some point.
Yeah, there'll be something ridiculous that we get to experience over the course of the next 5 or 6 days, I'm sure. I'm actually starting up prep in a couple of days. I've got the Bears and Lions coming up next week in Detroit. So all of a sudden, the Bears become a concern of mine after not having to concern myself whatsoever with them. After kind of a dog game. God, that game on Thursday was of all the games it was one of the games we have watched this year.
That's it. Not as simply as
we can put it. Listen, three wins. I was joking around. I texted a couple friends of mine around the city, and I was in my production meeting on Saturday night, getting ready for that Vikings game. And we go through all of our graphics, right? Most of which never get in the show because we got a game to cover. But these are all supplemental and complimentary things we can show you if we have a blowout or if we have something pertinent that we feel like we want to show you or talk about, or that becomes germane to our broadcast. So we're going through all of them. There's probably 25, 30 graphics in there. And we see the playoff picture for the NFC pop up. And this is a tradition like no other in the city of Chicago, because the division leaders are on the left. The three wildcard teams currently occupying the slots are in the middle.
And then my favorite.
That column that everybody loves on the right, in the hunt. Everybody.
In the hunt, baby. Let's get it.
And sure as a Joe and damned if I know, I look down and right at the bottom of that graphic, you got the Washington Commanders at 4-5, the Atlanta Falcons 4-5. These are records entering on Sunday. The Bucks, the Packers, the Rams are right there at 3-7 after their thrilling Thursday night win over the Carolina Panthers. Are the Chicago Bears in the hunt? So believe it or not, it's that time of year as we pass the halfway point of the NFL season where we are now in the hunt again.
It's a different atmosphere when Bears fans don't have to worry or deal with losing on a Sunday, right? Because my life as an NFL fan opens up on bye weeks and after Thursday night football games, because you get to put them to the side for a little bit and watching the league.
This is your Argentina.
Travis Kelce,
your Argentina right now.
100%. Hey, but shout out to Travis Kelce running it back, you know, like – and we didn't know. We were kind of wondering. Next thing you know, it was like, hey, strategically placed right there at the end of the stage.
Intercontinental, man. He's an intercontinental man now.
Once again, I thank the Bears for not playing this Sunday so I can peruse the rest of the NFL, right? And looking at that, I'm trying to figure out. You did Saints-Vikings, right? Josh Dobbs is running around here these last few games looking like a dude who should be on someone's roster, not just in a, you know, pickup journeyman kind of role, but like a backup quarterback. Because the age of the backup quarterbacks that I used to know, where Dave Craig's and the Steve DeBergs and the, you know, the Steve Bonos and dudes who, you know, Frank Reich and cats like that, they don't have them anymore.
Big Mike. Yeah. Fans
shout out to Mike T, right? But in the end, you're like, wait a minute, the quarterback position, it's kind of shaky around the league right now. And if a dude like that can come and play well over his last, 12 quarters of football, I'm not mad at it at all. And, of course, it's the Minnesota Vikings. So, you know. It's fun to see them not just struggle, but search for whatever their next quarterback situation is going to be.
Well, I mean, I was in the car last week and we were kind of going over it around the league, right? Like, we're going through every division and every starting quarterback essentially throughout the league, and division to division, conference to conference. We ended up counting 12 viable quarterbacks, like 12 quarterbacks that were like, I would go in on a Sunday with this guy. And 12 feels very, very low to me out of the 32 teams in the NFL, right? So what are we looking at? 38% basically of the league, right, that we feel like is not – I'm not saying like elite level quarterbacks. I'm saying just go into Sunday with a game plan and feel like you're at least going to have a shot to be in the game come the fourth quarter. We're not talking about the Patrick Mahomes of the world right now, or you know the way Joe Burrow has played recently, or how C.J. Stroud – like C.J. is in the mix right now. He's one of the 12. And that's not saying much when it's like, all right, here's a rookie playing for the Houston Texans right now that we think is one of the viable quarterbacks in the league. Maybe Josh Dobbs can throw himself into that mix based on what we've seen, you know, in seven quarters of Vikings football the last 2 weeks. But even he had issues in the second half today when the Saints made defensive adjustments. So, you know, I want to say there's you can assume that it's quarterback problems, and that's part of it. You know, some of these guys are in positions to probably fail, because they don't have the tools around them, or they're not particularly good, or the injury issues have forced them into a position that they're not ready for. Fine, so be it. It could be Jaren Hall at quarterback right now for Minnesota if he doesn't get a concussion last week, and Dobbs 5 days after he gets brought in has to come in and do something kind of miraculous. But all that being said, it feels like quarterback play is an issue, coaching is an issue, play calling is an issue, and maybe just maybe defenses are really good. Some of these defenses around the league are better than we've given them credit for, especially in a league that favors offense so much. So I do think quarterback play is an issue right now around the league, but I don't think it's the only factor. I think there's some mitigating factors around it as well.
And speaking of quarterbacks coming back, Kyler Murray comes back, and you know there's a comeback victory. Of course, Bears fans are watching the Carolina Panthers and hoping that every loss adds up. And next thing you know, you're in the number one position. As we are taping right now, Bears are in the number one position. And then you have maybe a top six or top five pick to go along with that, with your own pick that you hold as rights holders. Looking at those 12 quarterbacks and thinking what Justin Fields is and what he isn't, what do you think he has to do down the stretch to kind of change not only the perception of him, but what might the reality be? Because if he plays well and you're looking at two picks in the top six, and one of them can be Marvin Harrison Jr. or whatever you think it should be, does the other one have to be a quarterback? Like, I watch Olu Fashanu, the left tackle at Penn State, you know, this weekend, go up against Michigan. He looked damn good. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the person that you have to draft, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do with the other pick. And the other pick might be the number one pick for that matter. So what do you think Fields has to do in this last seven games to either solidify him staying or him going and using one of those picks for a quarterback?
I think he needs to prove that he can run an offense consistently. And it may not be the offense that he wants to run. It may not be the offense that he is made for. Because now you look at, again, I'll just go back to the Dobbs comparison. Josh Dobbs is a mobile quarterback, the second most rushing yards among quarterbacks entering action today, which is not a number that I think people would have thought about Joshua Dobbs. You know who has the most 20-plus yard runs in the NFL this season? Joshua Dobbs amongst quarterbacks. So the fact that he scrambles – oh, and that's – by the way, that's not just quarterbacks, but that's everybody. Six-plus, right, 20-plus yard runs this season. So for him to have the ability in an Arizona offense over the course of those first eight starts that fits somebody like a Kyler Murray – we've made comparisons in the past from Kyler Murray to Justin Fields in terms of ability, not necessarily size, which obviously Justin has in spades. He can take a little bit more contact. He can absorb more in an offense because of his size, because of his ability and physicality compared to somebody like Kyler. But the offenses, the way they have to run, the way they have to move, the way they do have half field reads, the way they cut fields in half to be able to minimize and narrow the focus down a little bit. You know, if Justin can prove that he can run an offense consistently, even if it's not the one that he's made for or ideally utilized in, then I think he's going to do enough to kind of at least buy him that fifth year. You know, that's kind of what this whole thing was supposed to be leading up to, right?
Yeah, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. For more content like this, yeah, you need to be around Adam Amin. You know, that's the only reason this is happening at the level that it's happening. We're going to get into some more football talk. And, of course, shout out to all of our people at the local angle. FanDuel TV is where it's at. But, you know, the full goal is right here for you. You know, second and third segment, we're going to have some fun, talk about some people we really don't like in the business, talk about bad music, make some inappropriate jokes. Those are the things that you got to come hang out with us on the full goal every Sunday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday right here on The Ring.
Welcome back to The Local Angle here on FanDuel TV. The Jets lose to the Vegas Raiders. The Giants positioning themselves to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. So it feels like a football season that we've lived in this town way too often over the last 10 years. Last year didn't really have that sense. Jets were in it, going down the stretch, playing meaningful games around Christmas. And the Giants went to the playoffs and won a playoff game. This time around, not getting that sense, not getting that feel. And I'm going to be very curious to see what the Jets look like and feel like going into that game against Buffalo. And you know Buffalo is going to be itching to go and get them after losing that opening week game. Jets needed to win one of these two games. They really did. I don't know what their playoff chances are on FanDuel now. They were like a plus 310. Plus 290 going into this week. They got to be in the 5-550 range as far as I'm concerned. They have to be, maybe even higher than that after losing this game and having a bunch of teams in the AFC go and win in the process. All right, how do you get in touch with New York, New York? If you want to do so here on a local angle on FanDuel TV, you call 917-382-1151. You make some magic. All right, let's make some magic. Let's hear from you.
Hey, Jay, this is Jeremy from Atlanta. Just got finished watching the Jets lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. Look at the Raiders, man. The Raiders season was over, right? Kirk Cousins. They brought in a guy the next Tuesday, and he's 2-0, and they can win the freaking North. I know the volumes are very good, but how could we not have done that? How could we not have done that? Like, what is the logic sticking with this guy who we know in the Chiefs game, he's going to be great, but he's going to fumble when the game's on the line. He's going to throw picks when the game's on the line. He's going to fumble at least once a game in key spots. What do we look like? How do you even? I'm at a loss. This team hasn't made the playoffs since I was 10 years old. I'm 23. I'm at a loss on how it's not important to the Jets to make the playoffs, and they're not doing things that professional teams do when they're in those kinds of situations to win. And it's really disappointing. You know, we could beat Buffalo. If we beat Buffalo and we beat Miami, I'll be interested. But I doubt we beat both those teams back to back weeks, and the season's probably over. So, later.
Jeremy, I feel your pain. And this is an easy second guess from a Jet front office perspective. Joshua Dobbs being out there is a guy anybody could have had. The Arizona Cardinals knew Kyler Murray was coming back. They knew they were in a position where they were going to unload him. That's a call the Jets should have made. Minnesota didn't have much time to go and have that materialize. Kirk Cousins tore his ACL. Boom, Joshua Dobbs was on the team 2 or 3 days later. Dobbs would have 1,000% made sense from a Jets standpoint. He would have. And would I have more confidence in him to go and run this offense as opposed to a guy like Zach Wilson? Yeah, I would. And you hit on something that I think is becoming really frustrating from a Jet perspective across the board here. They, at times, offensively, in this game against Vegas today, showed you glimpses. Breece Hall showed you glimpses. Garrett Wilson showed you glimpses. Wilson, with his mobility, first half, showed you glimpses. But it seems like every drive ends the same way. The Jets screwing it up themselves. CJ Uzama had two massive penalties today. There were multiple other instances where a positive play gets wiped out for the Jets because of a hold or a shot block, or it's a roughing the passer on the defensive side of the ball. And to that point, that is completely on the head coach, where you have to rein your team in, because clearly the messaging is not getting across in cleaning up penalty issues that, yeah, played a major role in this game. There wasn't that much difference between the Jets and the Raiders today. The Jets were far more penalized. You tell me that field goal at the end of the first half didn't make a difference? It sure did. You tell me getting a touchdown basically wiped off the board because you had a Uzama holding call that sends him back 10 yards didn't hurt him? Of course it did. Can't make those mistakes. But yeah, here we are, and the Jets continue to make those mistakes again and again and again. And that's why they're in the position that they're in, 4-5. Who's next?
JJ, Justin in Miami. You know, since 2012, we've seen some terrible Giant teams. This may be the worst. And right now, you have to redefine what the goal of this season is. And frankly, it's pretty simple. They need to end up with the first or second pick in the draft. And anything they do from here on out to thwart that goal is a disaster. So, you know, you can forget about bringing Tyrod Taylor back, because if they do anything to win games down the stretch, everyone should be fired. You're putting the fans through a miserable season. And if we end up with Drake May or Caleb Williams, people will forget it, just like nobody talks about 03. But if we, you know, if we get a Tyrod Taylor and we beat the Packers and Patriots down the stretch and are picking fifth, God help us. You know, that's how I feel at this point. Talk to you later, buddy.
Justin, I don't blame you. I think it's exactly the way you should feel from a Giants standpoint. This has been a nightmarish year. This is Judge-esque. This is McAdoo-esque. This is Shermer-esque. This is the Giants, in a nutshell, since they won their second Super Bowl. Now, there will be some folks out there looking at this year saying it's so bad, everything's got to go. I'm not looking at it that way. I think the Giants have had some bad luck. I think the Giants have lost some games they shouldn't have lost early in the year. They shouldn't have lost the Buffalo game. They did. They shouldn't have lost the Jet game. They did. They lose Jones. They lose Thomas. Yeah, they were a flawed roster. They weren't as good as maybe they thought they were going into the year. And I thought they were going into the year. But we have plenty of examples of teams in NFL history that overachieve with a new coach, new regime, first year, and they take a step back in a second year. This just happens to be a monstrous step back for the Giants. But as you brilliantly drew up and put it in perfect soliloquy, you go and end up with the number one and the number two pick in the draft, you might look back on it and say, hey, we hit on our quarterback for the next decade. You remember 2023? It sucked. But was it worth it? Yes. You mentioned 2003. That was a year in which the Giants missed postseason. Don't forget. 2002, they made the playoffs, lost a heartbreaker to Jeff Garcia and T.O. and the Niners. Following year, had expectations. Kerry Collins got hurt. A lot of things went sour. Fossil got fired. It was a rotten year. Awful. Didn't have the number one pick, but they were set up. And it allowed them to be in a position where Eli Manning saw them. They were desirable. And they ended up with the quarterback. And I think it's fair to say that worked out really well in the history of the New York Giants. We'll see if this 2023 season does that. And I have been very supportive of Tyrod Taylor on this show. I have. I gave him credit when he came in after Jones got concussed, or Jones got hurt. I should rephrase that. He didn't get concussed, but you know what I mean. Got hurt, missed some time. And he played okay. Tyrod Taylor should not play another game for the Giants this year. Even if he is medically cleared to play, it should be, hey, Tyrod, you can hold a clipboard. You can put a baseball cap on, but we don't want to win. Because he comes in and plays, he can win a couple of games for the Giants. Without question. Tyrod Taylor could go beat the Packers or the Rams or New England. Yeah, he could win those games. I want Tommy DeVito the rest of the way. Tanking Tommy DeVito. You want to give a gift to the team that poisoned your homestead in New Jersey? Go get them Caleb Williams and Drake May. Go do that. That's going to do it for the Local Angle here on FanDuel TV. Good job by our guys at the Full Go. Good job by our guys over at Off the Pike. This is John Cistrensky from New York, New York, signing off. Enjoy your week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Be good.